السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International this Saturday morning. Another edition of the Screaming Reels program. Alhamdulillah. This morning, the 28th of November, close to the end of another year. Last week, we had one or two interesting discussions. The one very important, of course, was with Ali Al-Kaji and the fishing trip that they were on, and this was really interesting. This was something awesome, something very good it was. This week, inshallah, we're going to be speaking to Brother Luqman Mia. We'll try and cross over to Brother Farooq Hassan as well. And also, we're going to say to our listeners this today that the lines are open, 011-854-1548. That is 011-854-1548. We know now going to the holiday season, a lot of people are going to be out fishing. Perhaps a lot of plans already for fishing trips with the families, without the families. So we want the callers to phone us and tell us about their trips, where they intend going, or perhaps what they remember, or the place that they remember going to last year, and where they intend going this year as well. So this is what we want our listeners to do for us this morning. We're going to be calling Brother Adil Mangli shortly, inshallah, on the line, and thereafter we will begin with our program. Welcome back to Radio Islam International. It is the Screaming Reels program, the 28th of November. On the line with us, we have Adil Mangli. Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I salute him all and to all our wonderful, wonderful listeners on this very funny looking weather day.
How are you doing, Ariel?
Alhamdulillah, Mawlana.
You not around this morning, Ariel?
Unfortunately, today unfortunately for the fact that I couldn't come into the studio, but we've got our annual school banquet at school today, so I've got quite a bit of work today, so I couldn't make it a must.
All right, perfect. And like I said earlier on, as we're just doing the intro immediately after the news break, I said that we would like our listeners to share with us, perhaps, you know, now we're going to the holidays, and many of our listeners would probably be planning some trips out there, and perhaps they would want to share with us where they're going to. Is it a place perhaps that they've been to previously? And if not, then at least they can perhaps call us and share with us some of the places that they've been to last year, and we can maybe discuss with them on that aspect, where they've been to last year, which areas, which places, some of the experiences with the families out there. Perhaps for some people it might have been a first time, it might have been one of those issues where they experienced something very, very different out of the waters. That also, and we said that we'll be speaking to Brother Luqman as well as Brother Farooq Hassan, inshallah, in today's program. Not to forget, I'm just remembering now, and at Harapest for them there is some sort of a competition that is going on today, and so the proceeds also going to a masjid. I'm not too sure exactly which area, but we'll try and get hold of some of the organizers on that front as well, inshallah.
That would be excellent, mashallah, Murana. I'm just thinking about last week. We were talking to our brother Adil Qaji on air, and we were listening to his amazing fishing trip. But then I'm thinking to myself, hey, last week, wasn't Murana Sajjad Timol at the work PM? So we'll wait for a full report from you as well, inshallah.
No, I don't think anybody wants to wait for a report on that line, Adil.
What?
Fishing wasn't all that good.
It wasn't all that good.
Not at all.
Now, the work there has been doing excellent all the time. And then suddenly, you guys go there, this like you say, last week, and things have changed.
Drastically.
Do you think that there might have been a reason for that?
According to a lot of the guys that were there, in the week, some of the guys did actually catch well. But they said that the weather in the week wasn't up to much. The weather was quite bad.
Right.
They said the weather was quite bad in the week.
So you're saying that they caught in the week, even with the bad weather.
Yes.
And you people had good weather.
We on Saturday we were caught up in a few storms.
Right.
But like I say, they said that Thursday and that Friday, the weather was quite bad.
Sure. And then knowing that.
Sunday, I think it was not even half a day. We really fished and we saw that the pattern was going the same way Saturday, and we kind of packed up. It was in a long time, actually, when Margaret and I was back at home from a fishing trip,
Easy, okay.
Hmm.
And I was really excited to hear what type of fish you guys were pulling out in terms of sizes and quantities, etc. So you mean you didn't get anything at all?
No, we caught. We caught about up to about 20 each day, a little bit. I mean, you know, from normal times when you're going to hold them to this, it wasn't good at all, actually.
And you see, that's the difference between me and you, because if you told me 20 fish in the day, I'll be so excited.
No, but generally, Adil, I mean, you just said now yourself that how the dam has been producing and the amount the guys have been catching in the day. And besides that as well, Adil, yeah, you really, really, really had to work very hard for it as well.
Yeah, I think that the thing that you're probably feeling disappointed about also is the fact that it wasn't quick fishing. It was taking a long time and constantly having to try and figure out what it is that the fish are taking on and learning and studying the whole pattern.
Yeah.
Besides
that's part of it. I mean, one is, you know, you know you've got to wait, but you know when you're waiting, I mean, even in terms of sizes, Ariel, even in terms of sizes, it was quite tough, honestly. It was quite tough, even in terms of sizes itself, and you really had to work for it, Ariel. You had to, like, kind of work hard for it.
We had to really figure out where the fish were.
100%.
And that's funny for this time of the year, because this is usually a good time to be catching bass.
100%. Yeah, you had to, like, really kind of work hard for it, and it was tough, no doubt.
I'm just thinking back now, because the first time that I went to the work, which was also around about the first time you went to the work, which was in March.
Yes, correct.
And the fishing was excellent.
Very good.
And that's a very long time ago, yet all the months that have passed us by, people have been talking about good fishing at the work. And, you know, there were some I don't want to say predictions, but the guys were saying that, you know, because of the amount of fishing pressure, etc., it might have its toll on the dam at some point in time.
I always wondered that you used to always say the same thing, Adil.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in that period, I've been a few times to the dam, and I've really seen that definitely, without doubt, the dam has taken a strain a lot.
And Luquan mentioned that also there were a few competitions, etc., on the dam in the few months that have passed by as well. So, again, lots of fishing pressure.
Mm,
unless the fish are just tired of the same type of lures that you're throwing them, maybe you're looking for some different colors, etc.
Something totally different now, you mean?
Possibly, yeah. Mm. But anyway, that's for the fishing guru, so we'll wait.
You see, but in terms of overall tapping, really, I mean, you do enjoy yourself. It is quite interesting, quite good.
Oh, yeah, you had the kids with you last week, how was that?
They really enjoyed it, although, yes, I think that the last few trips that they've actually joined us, in terms of fishing was much better. So they were, of course, getting a bit bored. And yes, like I say, they enjoyed it and whatever it might have been. But, you know, then you hear them screaming from time to time that, yeah, we're not catching today and let's change the spot and let's do this and let's do that. And, you know, all the time wanting to do something, because, I mean, the last few trips that have been coming with us, they've been having good luck in terms of catching. So now I think when the luck ran out, then they found it a bit tough. And we got Luqman with us on the line. Luqman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Malana?
Alhamdulillah, you keeping Luqman.
Allah shukr. And assalamu alaikum to Adil and all the listeners.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Last week, you didn't join us on an interview. We were talking to Adil Qazi as well. I'm sure you've been listening about that story. But before we go there, Maulana Sajjad and I met at your shop before we came on air. That was a Friday. We met there. He was getting ready to go to the work there. and I had come to see you about some other very important matters. And alhamdulillah, like I mentioned it last week on Radio Mulana Sajjad, Luqman and Solid English Corner, mashallah, have really come out to help us in our youth program that we do called the Sisinda Survival Camp by sponsoring us with a huge amount of fishing tackle, mashallah, you know, in the form of hooks and sinkers and swivels, etc. And I really want to show our appreciation. You know, follow our story, inshallah. You will see those kids using that stuff and, you know, see really what a difference it makes in their lives. So before we even get you involved in anything else, I must tell you on air, Jazakumullah for that, Luqman.
It's only a pleasure, and anytime, you know, we like supporting any programs of that sort where the youth are being trained, you know, because they're the future fishermen. So it's only right that we start coaching them and training them and supporting them in what they want to do.
I was there a few minutes just before that, Luqman, maybe dropped out some stuff from Adil's packet into my packet.
Yeah, Sansin, you are battling to catch a dawab. Maybe just a hook and a sinker would have worked better. Yeah.
Perhaps, maybe if you shared with me some stuff from there, maybe I would have caught better.
I've got two things now that I want to just quickly discuss. And Luqman, I need your professional opinion. One is, Mulana Sajjad says that it wasn't very, very good there. If you know possibly why, maybe speaking to other fishermen that also did the area there. And then the second thing I want to know is, we're always talking about the work, we're always covering bears, but what sort of other species do you know of, you know, from other fishermen that have been there? What sort of other species are there that can be targeted? So that if you go there and the bears are slow, you know, maybe you could try some other stuff.
Certainly the web story, it must have just been a bad weekend. You know, every weekend can't be good in fishing, so it must have been just an off weekend, or sometimes due to unknown factors which we don't know, but the common ones are maybe just a drop in temperature or air pressure. Actually, air pressure. If there's a drop in air pressure, that puts bears slow, you know, they don't even bite or bite very little. And most likely that's what happened, is it's probably a drop in air pressure, or maybe a few degrees drop in temperature also can put bears or generally other fish off. So I think that's all that it was. It was just a bad weekend fishing. As far as targeting other types of fish, yeah, it's that time of the year to put your bass rods away now, I think. Because the reports that we're getting from all over the show are the blues are on a bite, so I was surprised that the Timors went for bass rather than blues. I actually was in a state of shock when I saw they going for bass rather than blues. So the blues are biting all over, I mean, so it's best to take your carper rods out, starting to get them ready and heading out to the various destinations. At the WERP, you can also fish for carp. I mean, there's nice carp you can catch. There's mudfish, there's yellowfish, there's barber, and there's blues, of course. But right now, they're still quite small. They're not any big ones, so we wouldn't want people going there and hammering them at the moment. You know, just give them a chance to grow a bit, maybe reach that kilo and a half size before they start getting hammered. But elsewhere, you know, in all the other popular dams with blues, they're on the run at the moment.
You're talking about blues. I've seen some Facebook posts from some of our fishing friends, and some good-sized fish coming out.
Gee, very good. That's why I say, you know, it's time to put the bass rod away and take the blues.
While we were there last week, actually, there were some guys that actually caught some carpa there at the Wob Dam. And it was very close to shore. I mean, they had no boat or nothing of that sort. And they just waded in a bit, and they done quite well there. According to them, they've caught up to 30 or 50, that they said, for the day. But like you said, Luqman, I think in that area there, the blues are still perhaps not of that size. I think it still needs to grow quite a bit.
Gee, and then also we've had some good reports from the Vaal River. You know, we've had some brothers that went through and did some fishing for yellows. And again, they caught some really nice fish. So that's another species that you can target. And carp, you know, carp are in full swing at the moment, irrespective of where you go. Just make sure you got the right type of tips and
flavors and make a good feeding spot, you should do well. Actually, there's a nice app that the guys can load onto their phone called Dream Catch. It's called Dream Catch. I don't know how to do it myself, but if some fishermen out there know, they might just go onto their phones and download it. What it does is it you just type in the dam you're going to and the species of fish you're targeting, and what it will do for you, it sort of just narrows down your most popular baits to use in the dam. So it's become very handy, and a lot of the people are using it, and it's just making your selection of stuff that you take worth narrow. You know, you don't have to take, when you go into a particular dam, you don't have to cut a whole trailer full of equipment. You just take a couple of baits that are working and off you go.
Look, man, we were speaking previously about the shortage of water and the shortage of rain, etc. Have you guys heard anything from people in the outlying areas, etc., if the dams are getting full? Because we talked about places like Molokeri, and you're telling us that blues are on. I wonder now, has the water level risen at Molokeri, or is it still looking so shallow, etc.?
It's still shallow, but obviously because the fish are more concentrated, you're going to catch them and easier to catch. So we did hear one or two reports that guys have caught at Molokeri, but I haven't seen photos or anything myself. But along the way, we had some rains, but that's not sufficient to, it wasn't enough yet. Who knows? Inshallah, you know, Allah is most merciful, most kind. Inshallah, He'll send us good rain. But what we've had so far hasn't been enough to increase the levels in any of the dams.
Mm.
I know, it's right what Luqman is saying. I seen pictures of some of the fish that came out of the Luqman. It, for fishing wise, it looks very good, like you said, because they're all concentrated in specific areas. But then on the other hand, I mean, then you're hearing that the waters are still like only 3% and 4% from normally how those dams look. So in those areas, I still think that there is still a great need for a lot of rain in those areas. And you make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send the rain, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Luqman,
what about other areas around the country in terms of you know, saltwater fishing? Last week Adil made us list because he says he went to Lazarus Banks, that is off Pemba, and they did very well with the GTs. What about closer to home?
Closer to home, off Durban and you know, south coast like Margate and Shelly Beach. Even north coast of the boats, the guys have started catching dorados. It seems like the dorados have moved in, the kudas have moved in. So all serious ski boat fishermen can now start getting ready and excited, because it's that time of the year where those fish start moving in and biting quite actively. We haven't heard any good reports or any reports of surf fishing. It seems like the surf fishing has been a bit slow this year. Even the bay, you know, we've had no, we didn't have any good reports. I don't know if anybody else went or know anybody done well. Other fishing is also the tiger fishing, even though the Zambezi River is also quite low, guys have gone out and caught some decent tigers. Also, you know, in Kariba, the famous Niloticus, this is the time of the year when they start biting, so guys are catching. It's just not the, you know, when you get there, guys are but saddened by the water level. Kariba, it's probably at its lowest it ever was, I think. Guys are really worried, but at the same time, even if it's low, it's still a huge expense of water. Mm-hmm. And again, being low, it's probably good for fishing where the fish will be more concentrated.
There's some of the guys from Azabal, I forgot to actually get a hold of them after that, but maybe you might know about it. They said they were going to go for the Barber Run. You know, the one where the barbers go and run and then the tigers go after them.
Happens in Okavango.
Okavango, yeah. Did you guys have any of your customers that went for something like that?
Not yet. Report? We haven't heard, but the report should start coming in the next week or two.
And your plans, what about your plans for the next couple of weekends? Any fishing? Because I know now it's hot season for you to be in the shop.
Geez, that's it. So not any serious plans now. But if we can sneak a trip in here and there, we'll probably do it.
Any plans to go, like, for the Nilotica? Because was it last year that you guys went?
I didn't go last year, but my cousins, Nazir Ahmad, and my brother Umar, and him from Four Ways went through last year, Jeez.
Lukman, I think they're all leaving you behind and they're all carrying on that side. I said they're all leaving you behind and they're making the plans. Either you got a lot of experience in the shop or they got a lot of experience fishing.
It's a bit of both.
Lukman, you want to say something?
No.
I say, Jazakallah once again, Lukman, for your expert knowledge. Lots of people have benefited. In fact, I just downloaded that DreamCatch fishing app. I will play around with it. I found it on Android Play Store, the Google Play Store, sorry. And, we're going to check it out and see what it is like. You take care, inshallah. And once again, I must say to you, I must say it on air, Solid Angler's Corner, mashallah, have helped us a lot by sponsoring us with the tackle. And we will still give you a full report of how we have been using it, inshallah. And we make dua that you can join us as well, one of the trips. So, the kids can experience from someone with your knowledge on this particular subject.
Inshallah, as soon as we get a gift. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Adil, this dream catch fishing,
right?
You still got to go there and cast your rod in and things like that.
Where is this?
This dream catch fishing that you're going to download now.
Yeah.
When you get into the water, you still got to cast the rod and line in.
No, I understand that. you know what? I've actually been looking around on this Play Store for some time. You get these adverts once in a while. It comes and talks about fishing.
Mm.
And I haven't seen a South African version of an app, which can do what Lukman said it can do. So,
I see even the reviews are mostly in Afrikaans.
Yeah, so it was probably written by one of the Afrikaans anglers. And it will be interesting to see what it's all about. But nevertheless, getting back to the work trip, I just remembered I wanted to ask you something, because when we were talking to you last week, you were on your way. It was quite a long journey. What's the distance from Lens to the actual dam itself?
It's about 310 kilos.
And then you guys slept overnight where?
Yeah. There is a place close by to the dams, about, I would say, 10, 12 k's from the waters itself.
Okay.
And we stayed there by these guys' place. A nice place in terms of fishing-wise, comfortable. Each room got its two single beds. Nothing else besides that. They've got a small area for where you can have your braais and things like that. But comfortable. Very good location, very close to the waters, so in the morning you can get there early. Only one thing, Aris, the only one thing that I found surprising, just before that, let's just say to our listeners that Farooq Hassan has joined us in the studio, Aris.
Oh, shukran.
And we're just going to get hold of Brother Siraj very quickly. I think they're having a competition out today. I'm not too sure at the Hattapiers, but I think so, for the proceeds going to a masjid, inshallah. So we'll be speaking to him shortly, inshallah. But very quickly, Aris, the only one fear is that there are a lot of people that are actually coming down there to steal tires, to break into vehicles while your car is parked at the hole. Now, last week, just before we came out of the water, there was a guy that was actually overlooking some of the vehicles there. And he then came down and he said to us that there were three guys just a few seconds before that. They were actually going through the cars and actually looking through the vehicles, because perhaps they see a garment there, or they see a nice-looking radio, and then they break your window. There were some guys that went about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and they stole their trailer tires. So it becomes a bit of an issue then to sort that out. So I think if the guys are going on the weekends, or generally on the weekend, that this area, the place where we stayed, the lodge where we stayed, the owners there, they do send down a guard with you for the weekend.
All right.
But just to be on the safer side, I mean, that Sunday, for example, when we were leaving, he wasn't there on that day. So maybe if you do have space, take somebody with you from the side. If you are going on a weekday, definitely do that. So at least there is someone to look after your vehicle. I mean, you don't go out in the water, you're busy enjoying yourself, fishing, and all the time your mind is on your vehicle, or you come out now, there's no trailer tires. Now the closest place perhaps you're going to get is Middelburg, which is about 120 km from there, you know. So all this becomes a bit of an issue and becomes a problem then.
Now, the bears have attracted the fishermen, and the fishermen have attracted the tsotsis. Is that what you're saying? I say the bears.
Yeah.
They've attracted the fishermen, and the fishermen have attracted all the unsavory characters. We normally know always spoil our weekends away.
Hey, what you gonna do, Adil? That's unfortunately how it is. We just got to be extra cautious wherever we're going, extra safe wherever we're going, and that's how it's gonna be.
I think because you said earlier on, or Lukman, you were saying that some of the guys are catching on the shore, maybe it would be a good idea to park your car off and a few guys go in a boat and do a session there and keep a few guys on the shore area to do some fishing and, you know, and then swap over later. That could be a suggestion as well.
Definitely. Okay, we got Farooq with us in the studio, but we're just going to welcome Farooq with us. Farooq, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
Farooq, how are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, how are you keeping, man?
Alhamdulillah, it's been a long time.
It's been a while.
So just very quickly, Adli, we got Brother Ismail with us on the line. And at Harapios for them, there is some sort of a competition today where the proceeds are going to a masjid. I'm not too sure about the exact details, which area and about the competition itself, where they're having it. So let us find out more about this, inshallah. Ismail, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ismail?
Yeah,
it sounds like it.
Setting the road up or something. Ismail, assalamu alaikum. You live on radio? Nothing yet. Okay, wait for him to come back. Let's get to Farooq Hassan.
Ismail?
Assalamu alaikum. Ismail?
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. What were you busy rigging the road up there?
I was busy packing and sorting out. Hey, it's hectic, man. Well, what's happening, brother?
Alhamdulillah. So we received this message some time ago. Unfortunately, there was no follow-up on it from our side. But the competition that is taking place today, maybe you should take the listeners through this competition. Where is it happening and the reason behind it?
It's happening at the Rust in Artis. And it's a fundraiser for the masjid. So it's 200 and a person.
Hold on, yes.
All the monies go to the masjid.
But masjid where, Ismail?
In Florida. Okay. In Florida.
And who's the organizers for this competition?
His name is Uncle Siraj. I sent you his number. We should try to get all of him. But
we actually tried a few times, but no luck.
Okay, I'm gonna get one of his nephews. I know his nephew.
Alright.
Maybe I should try to get all of him and I'll tell him to give you a call, inshallah.
Okay, just before then, Ismail, sensing you are taking part in the competition, just tell us briefly, when does the competition start, when does it end, and just perhaps one or two things, one of the rules and regulations about the competition itself.
It starts today at 3 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
and we fish through the night till tomorrow 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock, all the roads must be out and then we do a weigh-in.
Okay.
And it's first, second, third, and fourth biggest fish, the first four prizes. And then the fifth prize is the heaviest net.
Okay.
And it's first come, first serve. So if you go early, you're going to get a better spot, of course, than the guy that come later.
Is there still space for people to enter the competition?
He told me on Wednesday, he said there is still space.
All right, and contact number, perhaps you can share a contact number, because, I mean, yeah, the proceeds, like you say, are going to the masjid, so if you can just perhaps share a contact number for our listeners out there.
Okay, it's on my phone, I'll have to send it to you. I'll send it to Molana, inshallah. That is, it's a very nice initiative we're doing to raise money for the masjid, and there's prizes that are sponsored for first, second, so I don't know what's the prizes, they haven't told me as yet. They said it's a surprise.
I think if we can't get hold of them today, obviously next week, inshallah, we can get a follow-up on what it was like and how it went.
I think that'll be good, Adi.
It's a good idea.
But it's what you said, the rest.
I'm gonna try to get hold of the nephew and try to get hold of this Uncle Siraj.
Okay, inshallah.
And then I'll tell him to give you a call, inshallah.
Perfect. Jazakallah for this.
No problem. Sound good.
Right, Adil, we both going on mute now.
Okay.
Like we said, that it's been a while since we had Farouk with us in the studio. I think that's the last time he actually came on air.
Yeah.
So let's just leave the floor open for him, Naishan. Farouk, we're not telling you what to talk, where to start, nothing.
putting me on the spot there now. but yeah, I actually like the sound of that, the prizes for the competition. It's a surprise.
Surprise.
Yeah.
But so, it's something good.
No, alhamdulillah, the proceeds going to the masjid, very good, alhamdulillah. You know, it's one of the ways in which we can
definitely assist our
we can go forward as well. You know, it's another avenue in which we can use to raise funds instead of just going to people and saying that we need money. Provide an activity, and
sure.
While we're on the topic of that, I don't know if listeners know that there's something happening, inshallah, next year, March as well. Just digressing a little bit, with a similar intention where proceeds are going to the masjid for Cliptown.
Okay.
They're having a get together of all the pioneers of Cliptown and those that are businesses and that. So yeah, alhamdulillah, sure. For that as well, there's a dinner.
Also
lunch.
At the dam or what is?
No, it's actually at Clipper Fields Nature Reserve.
Okay.
From what I believe, I just heard about it in the week. So alhamdulillah, also proceeds going towards the masjid.
Something good.
So very nice, alhamdulillah.
I know last week, a week before last, I think it was also, I believe you heard that on the Farouk, and we interviewed some guys, I think it was from Heidelberg as well.
Yes, yes.
That also had proceeds, I think, were going to the masjid or some sort of that.
Oh, some organization, yeah.
Some organization it was, yeah.
But you're right. It's creating this platform where people can sort of make fundraising a little bit more exciting as well and get people involved. Lots of people are involved in very various sort of activities. I know some guys do a golf day, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good in the sense that it sort of opens up your market to various kinds of people in the community that are involved in various types of activities. So I'm just thinking maybe Farouk and I must arrange some sort of a nature walk, you know, to raise funds for something. That'll be good.
The more you walk, the more you pay.
Farouk, anything happening at any of the major game parks that sort of interested you within the last few weeks?
It's actually been very quiet. I actually just for the benefit of the listeners, I don't know if anybody has heard about it, that I just got a message. I haven't gone into it. This week's been a bit hectic. I believe that the ban on domestic
rhino horn
trade has been lifted.
Right.
So I'm not sure what the nitty-gritties and what the details are, but let's hope, inshallah, that this could be a platform or start something whereby we can start saving the rhinos, you know, where the rhinos start getting a little bit
protection.
Yeah, in a certain sense, whereby hopefully that the price of the rhino horn would drop, because this is what they say, you know, because it's a banned substance, because it's illegal to trade in rhino horn, it's like anything
sure.
That is illegal, the price normally just rockets. So if let's hope, inshallah, that through this year the price on the black market would drop, so that the demand for the rhino horn would lessen, inshallah.
You know, while you're talking about that, there's something that really interested me in terms of this particular topic. We were at Al Zoo, which is one of the halfway stops, you know, from Nelspruit coming back home. And I saw those guys got rhino on his property there that people can view. There's quite a bit of other game there as well. But none of those rhinos had their horns on. They sort of cut them off, just a little stump. Now, two questions I want to ask you. Is that what they mean by domestic rhino horn trade, where they don't kill the animal, they actually cut the horn off, or... does that horn actually grow back again?
Okay, firstly, by cutting that horn off, that man is hopefully trying to protect his rhinos. A horn does grow. It's very much like I think we mentioned once, that it's principally composed of keratin, which is similar to the composition of our nails and our hair. It grows all the time. And rhino horn normally grows at an average of between 60 and 100 millimeters per year. So, yeah, it does continuously grow. And if a rhino is sedated and you cut it off, obviously not on the root, there's a distance from where it starts growing, where they normally cut that off, and occasionally every year or every second year they would cut it off. But now the problem that these guys face, all right, in this case, Adil, he is very much at the filling station or at the garage next to a highway, so you can see where the rhinos are. You can see that the horns have been taken off. Now these farmers or these owners of the rhinos actually have previously they've had a dilemma. I've got a friend who's got a game farm out in Costa, and he's got, if I can remember, I think 8 rhinos on his farm.
Sure.
And we were having a discussion not so long ago where he says he needs to cut the rhino horn because obviously to save them, but he's sitting with a problem because when he cuts the horn, what does he do with it? He can't keep it at home because he becomes a target now. You know, it's like cash at home, you know?
Yeah.
So he can't do anything with it.
And he can't sell it because there's no market right now.
Naturally, there's nothing that he could do with it. And he can't sell it. So he has to now probably keep it in a bank vault somewhere, you know. And what happens is the Department of Environmental Affairs occasionally just pops in to come and see if the rhino horn still exists in his possession, if he hasn't sold it. So, sometimes having a live rhino is more of a problem, you know. And by cutting the horn of the rhino, it happens, or in certain places, yes, it can save that rhino to a certain extent, but in many places it doesn't, because what happens is that these guys, or the poachers rather, they will pursue this rhino because they know how to track a rhino. So they will follow it by the spoor. And if they come across this rhino, the horn's been cut, they will shoot it in any case.
Sure.
And as if the beauty of the rhino also is in that.
Yeah, you know, seeing a rhino without a horn is actually, it's not a rhino. Now, sorry, Ma, just to quickly finish up there, why these guys will cut this, will shoot this rhino in any case, because it saves them time from tracking it in future.
So out of the way.
It's out of the way, yeah. So now they'll spend their energy rather tracking something else, yeah. So that has actually been, and even if you poison the horn, it doesn't mean that that it's going to save the rhino's life, because they will only find out that the horn is poisoned after they've taken the horn off and probably used it. So your rhino is still in danger. See that, and hopefully through the lifting of that ban, inshallah, we can.
I'm actually quite happy that you clarified this, because I was not very. I didn't know how to react to it when I heard the media statements talking about domestic ban on rhino horn lifted. But now it makes so much sense, because there's quite a few of these private owners who have the rhino. They can harvest the horns, but they don't know what to do with it. So I think now I've changed my viewpoint in terms of the way I understood this. So Zakla for this clarification.
And then there's been a lot of areas where they've had specific areas now where they've brought many rhino together, and they've kept them under watchful eye with cameras and security and things like that.
Yeah, that's basically just to create or to
an awareness.
Not so much an awareness, but basically to from a conservation point, you know, if we lose rhinos on a very high number in this country. Remember, South Africa has got the highest concentration of white rhino anywhere in the world, and we don't want to talk about numbers, but there was a time when there was basically less than 10 rhino in the Kruger, and they've reintroduced it sometime, I think, in the 50s, if I can recall, and alhamdulillah, through that, where we're sitting with this very healthy population, which is depleting slowly. So this is basically a measure that's been taken just to prevent something like that happening, where we lose our last rhino. Maybe just to spread the gene pool as well, where they've collected from a few different places and start breeding it in captivity. Mm.
But at the time that all of this was happening, I remember that one period where it was about a few months, and it was like everyday story, and it was an ongoing thing, and it was becoming a bit,
you know, it still is an everyday thing. It's just that it's not mentioned. They're not making a very big public outcry about it. But there is, and I'm not, there's a very good team in the Kruger that, that is headed by one of the retired major generals from the National Defense Force. And they're really putting in different measures of trying to combat this. Unfortunately, because like because the trade and the demand for rhino horn is just so great, the money is just too good. So every guy that's sitting out there wants to poach a rhino to make some money. And you know it's not just one, once he's done the first one, he sees how easy it is, and he does the next, and he's always know if I do this one more. You know, and the chain and the syndications are just so big that it's very difficult to break because obviously you catch one guy and the guy that you want is not really the poacher himself.
Sure.
You know, so that's basically the ones that are being caught.
It becomes very difficult.
That's the problem. Yeah. But just to talk a little bit about it, there's actually a DNA system called RHODIS, R-H-O-D-I-S, where every rhino poached, they're collecting DNA samples.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been collected on a database, and wherever they find illegal rhino horn, it is now being
matched to that,
so they can exactly match. Let's say they find, remember our biggest buyers of illegal rhino horn is Vietnam, so if they find someone on that end with rhino horn, they now enter it into the system and try and match it and see exactly where to which rhino it has been poached. And if at that poaching scene or whatever it is, there was probably a suspect caught, then they can link it now to that, you know.
Sure.
It's actually a very it's a very big thing. We still don't understand how you know the nitty gritties of everything, but yeah, the task team is doing, they're doing a good job. They've now deployed some dogs in that as well that can sniff out rhino horn. So there are, it's just that we don't hear much of it, we don't see much of it because it's happening.
I think from a information and a if they put too much of that out there, obviously the bad guys are also listening and
following
things, and they will then make their counter attacks as well.
Yeah, so that's why, you know, it's not much is spoken about, but alumni, they are making grounds. It's just that we are still losing rhinos quite extensively, but let's hope and let's make dua, inshallah, that through this we can probably save it.
I wanted to ask you, just in terms of when you guys go out on walks, do you ever come across sort of like snares and things that are set up by poachers, or poacher sort of camps that have been abandoned and things like that?
You know, Adil, it has happened times when we're out on the walk, you will pick up tracks that is not very familiar, that not should have been in the area. There has been an incident once where we picked up a snare. In fact, we've seen this carcass of a rhino from a distance, you know, and we decided let's go and have it. This was actually before the whole rhino poaching has gone out of control.
Okay.
And we took a walk down to this carcass, and while walking very close by, we found a cable snare. And walking around there, we found a few more, and fortunately, we found the horns as well.
Sure.
But this, you know, now rhinos are not being snared, they've been shot. No, because it's a whole lot easier now. Remember, with the snare, they have to wait for an animal to pass by and keep checking the snare. Whereas if they're tracking it, they shoot the thing, get the horn off, and really these guys are so fast that in under 10 minutes from the time the rhino is shot, the horn is removed and they're gone.
Sure.
You know, and it's really they are really really fast. They know what they're doing.
So
they know
how
to hack
it. Perhaps spooked them that the horn was still there.
No, this carcass was, there was no meat left. You know, so the rhino was dead. You know, it was dead. It couldn't move. So it has been dead there for probably a couple of weeks because there was nothing left. So I suppose the carcass was devoured by either lions, hyenas, vultures, and whatever, and they just. The guys just haven't come back to collect their prize, you know.
Sure.
So alhamdulillah, in that case, yes, we found the horn. But there has been incidents where, you know, while walking, you hear these unfamiliar gunshots as well. And it's always a concern that you have in the back of your mind. What happens if you walk into these guys? Because they're walking with automatic rifles. So
and they're not going to give it a second thought.
Not at all.
So I mean, you coming between them and that
horn,
that hold of this.
So, yeah. So, something that I would have liked to have spoken about today. I don't know how much time we've got left.
I'm sure Faisal Patel is already in the studio.
No, not yet.
Okay.
Just for the benefit of the listeners, the Honorary Rangers of Johannesburg South Region, we've now officially launched our Junior Honorary Ranger program. So, Ali, this may sound a little, or this may interest you a little bit, and some of your students at school, and maybe you can just pass it on to some of the teachers as well, inshallah. Where we're starting this, inshallah, next year, January, where we want to get juniors or our youngsters involved in grooming them towards honorary rangers at the later stage, inshallah. The program basically, it will happen once a month, where they would have to attend, and it starts off, the first meeting or the registration is happening on the 23rd of January next year, 2016. And Hamla, would like to thank Park Primary School, school governing body, for allowing us the opportunity of utilizing the premises for this particular program. So it will start off on the 23rd of January next year at Park Primary School at 9 o'clock, or actually at 8:30 for 9 o'clock. And through this program, we would like to, it's basically to get them more interested in conservation and those that have a keen interest in anything regarding the outdoors. To get involved, and there is workbooks where they would have to work through. Inshallah, there will be a few outings as well, and we'd like to encourage parents who have kids that have this interest to perhaps bring them along and see what it's about. Maybe they can join our program, inshallah. And through this, inshallah, we would like to for groom these kids that one day, inshallah, they would like to they can pursue career paths in these fields. Remember, you know, we spoke once upon a time that we've been very stereotyped into career paths. We want our children to be doctors, lawyers, engineers, you know.
Yeah,
but who is there in our Muslim community that has followed career paths in the science field that can tell us about different things? You know, and really these career paths are so vast, where we would like to see our Muslims following these career paths, and at a later stage, 20 or 30 years down the line, inshallah, we have our Muslims at different levels following these different career paths.
What did you say, 26th of Jan?
23rd of Jan, I think you said, right?
Yeah, because
it's normally
the 26th.
No, it's the
26th.
Mark, did I say
26th? I forgot the 23rd of
Jan. Okay, if I did, sorry, Mark.
And the age group?
From 10 to 18. So any children from the age of 10 to 18 can join. I don't know how to get contact details. Maybe do we leave contact details if anybody would like to? They can contact Brother Shiraz Patel. He'll be heading our juniors program, and I'll give his number now in a minute. Let me just find it quickly on my phone.
I said it's a very interesting program for the youth to get them involved in something like this here, and it's good that St. Park has taken that sort of initiative. Hopefully we can all work together in this particular thing. Now,
look, I think St. Park has actually started this a long time ago.
Okay.
Many regions throughout countrywide have the Honorary Ranger regions have their junior programs running. It's just that we were a little delayed in it.
Okay.
And now we found now that we need to get it started, and hopefully through this, inshallah, we can get them involved. Remember, the youth are our future. Shiraz's number is 082-303-6736.
That's 082-303-6736.
Jazakallah.
Is that only the one contact number, or can they give out your number as well?
I can give my number as well. 082-560-7647.
Maybe perhaps next week, following week, inshallah, we can discuss a bit more on this issue.
Inshallah, we can talk about it. And next week we'll be on trail, so we can discuss again the following week about
inshallah
what it was like. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mulana Sajjad, look at, we've come to the end of another beautiful and exciting program. Always a pleasure. Unfortunately, I couldn't be in the studio with you, but hopefully next time we'll be fishing together.